Champaign-Urbana had started Prohibition in 1907, long before the rest of the country and most of Illinois. We had local Prohibition, and it was particularly strong in Urbana. But Champaign was not the case. I mean, it was Prohibition in law only, and it was very frequently ignored. And so it led to all sorts of vice in the city and payoffs. And in fact, one of the two occasions in Champaign history when a police officer was killed was in 1913, when an officer was doing a raid on a suspected bootlegger and was shot to death. And so there was a lot of booze in Champaign, even though it wasn't supposed to be here. And it was particularly geographically focused on the downtown area and in the streets adjacent to the Illinois Central Railroad, because there were a lot of railroad workers who liked to imbibe.
I just finished watching the Ken Burns documentary, Prohibition, and it seems like this case wasn't Champaign-Urbana like it was a lot of places. They didn't have the funds to enforce this once federally Prohibition was enacted and law enforcement dealt with it once in a while just to show that they make some headlines and show they were doing it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. They would have occasional raids, and it was always on a weekend, and it was generally what was called a resort that would be operated by an African-American. And so, you know, that was held up as evidence that the cops were enforcing the laws, and they'd go after the poor people, but the rich folks who had booze in their house, that was not a problem with the cops.
And we can't ignore Danville. It was big at the time and had a lot of saloons.
Danville was an entirely different story. It was it did not have the local Prohibition that Champaign-Urbana had, so people would take the train or the interurban over to Danville and either drink there or bring booze back from Danville. And it was certainly a much more wide-open town. And that went on for decades, even after Prohibition.
Speaking about going places in particular to drink, we have to talk about Ivesdale. And that was surprising to me that this was a community that people would find transportation to get there.
Yeah. Well, you know, I could be accused of some sort of a racism here, but, you know, Ivesdale was an Irish town, and the Irish people like to celebrate. It was one of the few places in Champaign County where you could drink.
What else do we see in the community today that's a lasting reminder of what existed when you had speakeasies and maybe other vices after the law was repealed?
There's a lot of the buildings that were used as speakeasies and gambling places and booze places in the 20s and 30s, but now they're just along Market Street and Walnut Street in Champaign, and along First Street on the other side of the tracks. But, you know, there's nothing to really identify them as having been speakeasies or place where you could get bathtub gin or quarts of whatever you wanted to drink.
We'll close this out by talking about, I mean, there were some places in the history books where Champaign-Urbana figured in the fact that Elliot Ness was down here for a couple of weeks in the 20s.
Yeah, supposedly he was making his mark. I'd forgotten about that he was with the Prohibition Bureau, and that's where he got his start. And he was down here a few months, maybe, and did a lot of raids that were, you know, that were put on the front pages of the paper. And then he was transferred to Chicago, where he became an even bigger name. If you're a student at the University of Illinois or somebody who just moved here, you wouldn't have any idea of the background that this relatively quiet little town had back in the days of Prohibition. You would just not know that there was any kind of vice, any kind of wide open entertainment going on, especially in downtown Champaign. It's just an entirely different place now.